Welcome to Against the Tide TV from Poland. Our special guest is David Matos, a famous lawyer and human rights defender from Canada, a co-author of the Kilgore Matos report about organ harvesting in communist China. Welcome to Against the Tide TV, Mr. Matos.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's a privilege to have you in our TV. And let's talk about coronavirus and, of course, communist China. You said that the present pandemic is due in part to the international community's failure to hold China to account for systemic medical abuses for years. Could you explain that?
David Kilgore and I and other researchers have been involved particularly in the issue of organ transplant abuse in China. There's compelling systematic abuse, evidence of killing of prisoners of conscience for their organs for transplantation, sold to transplant tourists and Chinese patients. The victims have primarily been practitioners of the spiritually based set of exercises, Falun Gong, but also Uyghurs, Tibetans, House Christians. The abuse has been going on since the early 2000s. We produced a report, David Kilgore and I, in 2006, and there's been accumulating evidence since then. There was an independent tribunal in 2016, which concluded that, and they came out actually with a report just this March, several hundred page report, that the evidence was that this was happening beyond a reasonable doubt. There's been a lack of transparency, a lack of accountability. China denies it. And mostly, I mean, there's been some concern, but mostly the global community has ignored it. And so the message that it's come across is that abuse in the health system in China can be covered up, ignored, if it's politically convenient to do so.
You also were talking about China's counterfactual narrative. Polish president praised Xi Jinping for quick and decisive reaction, which no doubt prevented further uncontrolled development of the epidemic and thus saved many lives, both in the PRC and in other countries. That sounds like going along with China's narrative. What do you think, Mr. Matos?
Well, I mean, of course, with politics, we get people who are saying things that want to be friendly to China, that is supportive of China. And China is very politically powerful right now. And I think what we need to do is get the health experts, the independent experts, to really address the situation. And mostly that hasn't happened. I mean, it's happened in the non-governmental sector, but if you look at the United Nations or the World Health Organization, that there's been lots of calls for an independent inquiry with which China would cooperate, but none really that have happened. And so I think what we need is independent expert analysis of what exactly is going on, so that Chinese denials and Chinese counterfactual narratives can be assessed against the reality of the situation.
And why should China be held legally responsible for mishandling CCP virus outbreak? How it can be done?
Well, there's a number of different legal options, both internationally and also nationally. And obviously, when it's national, it depends on what's going on in each country. But there's a possibility of legislation, criminal legislation that has extraterritorial effect, crimes against humanity legislation. Many countries have legislation called Magnitsky laws, which allows for the naming of abusers. There's civil litigation possibilities as exemptions to Sovereign Immunities Act, depending on what immunities are allowed, and that can vary from province to province or country to country, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. In terms of international instances, there's the World Health Organization and UN Human Rights Council as options. They haven't functioned very effectively, but they could. There's the UN Security Council with a reference to the International Criminal Court. There's the UN General Assembly with the reference to the International Court of Justice. There's the Biological Weapons Convention, which allows for Security Council to investigate. I mean, so there's a number of different options, and I think what needs to be done is that all these options need to be invoked and explored. I would also say that when we're dealing with liability, we shouldn't be only focusing on China. I mean, China is first and worst, but we need a general scheme of liability that deals with all wrongdoers.
And I want to mention our petition, which we wrote with our Taiwanese correspondent, Hannah Shen, to hold China's government accountable for the coronavirus. It is a petition to President Donald Trump, and we gained 100,000 signatures, which were needed. And President Trump now needs to answer officially to this petition. What do you think of this kind of actions?
Yes, I think it's worthwhile. I think we need a system of accountability, and I think we need to see all governments asked for it. And right now, of course, there's a lot of focus on prevention, but I believe that liability is a form of prevention. If people who are dealing with coronavirus know that there's a or any potential pandemic know that there's a potential liability, it just changes the way they're going to react to the situation. So I think it's important to set up this system of liability and make it work.
But what do you think? How possible is for Communist China to pay, for example, for spreading a coronavirus to Poland, to Canada, or to the United States, and in many other countries which has epidemic now?
Well, when you're looking at violations of international law and liability, the system can work because, I mean, obviously it hasn't been tried here, but in other instances, there are, for instance, in many jurisdictions, laws that give exemptions to the principle of sovereign immunity for terrorism or gross human rights violations. They haven't been used against China, but they've been used, for instance, against Iran. And there's been some judgments against Iran, and there's been collections on those judgments. Because states have assets everywhere. China has assets everywhere. So if there was a judgment against China, there probably could be a collection on it.
In March this year, there was an information about double lung transplant on a coronavirus victim in China. And two matching lungs were found in a few days, which raises a suspicion of organ harvesting. Is it possible that coronavirus has increased organ harvesting in China?
The numbers of organ harvesting in China are very large, by far the largest in the world. And the problem historically in China with transplant volumes has not been availability of organs to harvest because they have this indefinite supply of prisoners of conscience. But it's been rather the beds, the hospitals, the doctors, and the drugs, and so on. There are constraints in transplants dealing with coronavirus because coronavirus is new. It's not because of the unavailability of lungs. The problem we get with these lung transplants, as we do generally with transplants, is the Chinese say, government, of course, says, well, it's coming from donors, and there's no way of independently verifying whether this is so. It's just, health system, government system, Communist Party say so, and any attempt to find out what the sourcing is, it reaches you reach a brick wall. And so we really need here and elsewhere more transparency in the health system in China.
How would you explain to our Polish government, who unfortunately is cooperating with Communist China, that China is not a good partner to cooperate?
The China Tribunal, which gave its judgment recently in London in book form just in March, what they said is one has to realize that when you're dealing with the government of China, you're dealing with a criminal state and a criminal enterprise. And you should keep that in mind with all your dealings. I wouldn't say don't deal with them about anything, but you have to keep in mind the special nature of the Communist Party in China when you're dealing with them.
But our Polish politicians said that, they are communists, but they are also capitalists, and we just make deals with them. It's some nothing to do with organ harvesting or human rights and so on.
Well, in terms of the coronavirus, I think one has to be specific. I'm not advocating a total sort of boycott and isolation of communist China. I mean, communist China was in that situation under Mao Zedong, and I don't think it helped the situation in China or the rest of the world particularly either. I think the problem is that we've gone from one extreme to the other, whereas before we had nothing to do with communist China. Now we have much too much to do with them, and we're turning a blind eye to many of the wrongs that are going on there. And I think we have to be specific when you're dealing with the organ transplant sector. That is a sector where one has to be very careful about dealing with them. And similarly with the coronavirus, where there's been a lot of cover-up, counterfactual narrative, denial. Repression of whistleblowers and so on. One has to be very careful in dealing with them in that sector too. I would take a much more specific approach, sector by sector and area by area, rather than blanket everything in China is okay or a blanket nothing in China is okay.
And for to the end, I want to ask you personally, why did you involved in if in defending human rights, especially in communist China, and you devote your time and your life to these people?
I'm involved in a number of different human rights issues. I first got involved in human rights because, well, I'm Jewish, and although I wasn't affected by the Holocaust, and neither was my family, I well realized that neither I nor any Jewish person would be alive today if the Nazis, rather than the Allied powers, had won World War II, which was just a result of the vagaries of war. But I also felt when I got involved in human rights that it's important to get involved in not just the victimization of my own community, but in victimization generally. One of the lessons I felt I learned from the Holocaust is the need for people everywhere to show concern for human rights violations anywhere. And obviously, I can't do everything, but China represents to me a situation which, first of all, I think it shows a global solidarity get involved in a country where I have no personal ties or connections. I don't know the language, and I'm not personally connected to the Falun Gong community except through dealing with their human rights victimization and so on. I think it just helps show human solidarity to reach across that geographical, cultural, linguistic, spiritual divide. Secondly, I mean, this is a very grave problem, the organ transplant abuse in China. One has to deal with the worst problems first, and this to me is a very grave problem. And third, there's not that many other people doing this sort of thing. And so I felt that this was an area where I could make a personal individual contribution. And so those are some of the reasons I got involved.
Thank you so much for your great work, and send our thanks to Mr. Kilgore. Thank you so much. It was David Matas, a famous lawyer and human rights defender from Canada. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for talking to me.
Unika Hojecka, see you soon.